Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll break down this past week's race at Bristol and hear from your winner, Mr. Ty Gibbs, first-time winner in Cup. And TV ratings were up 1 million viewers, but maybe not for the series you're thinking about. We head to Kansas this weekend, Toto, and we'll get you ready for that. And did you already give a thumbs down on that?
I see that out of the corner of my eyes. It's my weekly thumbs down.
We had Fantasy and Chase standing.
Just trying to get to Talladega, man.
On today's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Still want to call it that old thing. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my radio right, all things Alabama, Jason Hildebrand, the man spinning the tunes, opinions, winning national championships. That's keeping us on the air, sitting across the table. That's super producer Scott Webb. Did your Red Wings win last night? I feel like I was watching.
No, they didn't.
Were they on ESPN or something?
I have no idea.
I feel like I was watching somebody. So
I think me and Scott have checked out on hockey.
Yeah, I've tapped out on hockey.
Nashville out?
Nashville's out. Detroit's out.
Yeah.
Well, it's not everything now. You can't win everything up in Michigan. We've figured that out. So, I guess Nashville and Detroit probably need a prescription for how they feel. If they did, they can go to Mouse Creek Pharmacy. And they've grown so much that they need another location. That's right. The same great hometown service can now be found at their newest location, Georgetown Pharmacy. You guessed it. It's off Georgetown Road in Georgetown, Tennessee. Get away from that big box store and visit Mouse Creek or Georgetown Pharmacy today. All right, heater dud meter. I'm going with a 2.5 because it was a typical Bristol, but the end was intriguing.
I'm going to go 4 because the end was intriguing. I just thought it was crummy. I just really did. And you know, looking back at Bristol, and we talk about this, the PJ, the compound PJB. Put on the bottom. PBC. You know, you just kind of just watch. Oh, yeah. You just watch the race and you see these guys running down. I just thought it was bland. I really didn't enjoy the racing that much. The end was okay. I'm going to backtrack that. I'm going to give it a 3. I'm going to go 3.
Sorry to say, the ending
is harsh. I'm a little harsh there. I'm going to give it a 3.
I like where Jamie came from. I thought it was typical what we've seen at Bristol with this car. It wasn't the exciting couple tire races we've had where tire wear was a major factor. It was just what Bristol is anymore, which is you can run at the bottom for a little bit, then the top rolls in, and then it's about, you know, when are cautions going to fall. I will say the end of the race was intriguing. You know, Blaney probably had the best car on the whole day, and then, you know, you got to make a decision after that, after Kyle Busch just totally destroys. I forgot who he hit, but caused the late caution there, and you know, you got to make a decision what you're going to put tires on, you're not going to put tires on. And it looked like Blaney made a decision, and they came up about a half car short. So the 4 tires did not win out as Ty Gibbs takes 2 and wins the race.
I thought he was toast, and I sent you guys, I thought Gibbs was toast, but then you had the other caution,
right?
And it kind of evened it out, and it kind of evened it out with Blaney and Larson just hammering.
And there wasn't
down
really anybody that can get. I mean, you had so much momentum on the top that you could, somebody might be able to get underneath you on the bottom, but they couldn't keep up, and
they couldn't make a pass.
Yeah.
At the bottom, not especially after you get a little bit of tire wear. It was just not enough grip on the bottom of the track. Now, I don't want to say I wanted to see to go the other direction like we've seen in the past, where you can only run the bottom and there's no passing at the top. So, I mean, I get all that, but
isn't that what we all want, right? Well, there is move somebody out of the way.
No, not when you got your fantasy guys are running 1, 2, and 3. I'm sitting here thinking, don't touch anybody, guys.
I think I'm
don't
giving up on anybody. Hockey. Wait till we get to the fantasy stuff. I've given up on fantasy for sure.
I wanted to look at kind of at the bottom of the standings for, or the results from Bristol. You've got Alex Bowman And 37th, dead last. You know, your guys, Shane Van Gensbergen in 34th. And then, you know, Josh Berry, accomplished short track driver, 32nd. And then you look at William Byron in 30th. The question I had on here was the 24 becoming the 48?
I don't think so. There's a lot of talent still in the 24 with William Byron. I think he's just going to get on a hot streak, and it really could start this week.
And Jason, we've seen this over the course of the last several years, yep, where they're hot or cold, and there's not the consistent, oh, we're going to run in the top seven. It's usually we're up near the front or we're back deep in the field. There's just not enough consistency out of the 24. Now, the 24 and the 48 are two totally different. At least the 24 can win races and be involved. So I'm not ready to go there, but this is kind of what we've seen out of Byron over the course of the last few years. It's a lot of streaks, whether hot or cold.
What where's he at in the points?
He's seventh in the points.
But where was he? I guess so. Is that seventh like an average of where he's been, or was he up there and kind of falling down? That would be what.
But I think the cold streak is what's moved him down, you know, in points.
I want to say he was like fourth or fifth,
right?
But it's almost reminiscent. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys don't agree with me, of Elliott in the past couple of years.
I would agree with that.
You know, you see him out there and you look in the points, and it's like. What? He's
except
eight,
the only nine? Thing I disagree with is the 24 won more than the 9 car did.
Yeah, but, you know, Elliott, there was nothing sexy about where he was running in the past couple of years at, say, this time of year. Like, he wasn't up there competing for a win or.
And really, Bristol kind of took him back down to where he was. He finished 22nd. I mean, where's he at in points?
Chase is fifth, right?
Yeah, there. I mean, so I feel like he's been running well all year, and this might have been the first time they just missed it.
I just think the 24 is going to get on a hot streak. I mean, you see it every year out of these guys, and I would really not put it past them to come off with something this weekend at Kansas.
The eight, I know we harp about him every week. Denny had some comments about him.
Yes, he did.
So I guess the thing is like you want to know which one's worse. Is it he has lost touch? Because there was a lot of on X and I think on Facebook as well, you know, sharing the comments from inside the car of Scott turning music on in the middle of the segment.
There.
But, you know, of inside the car where the crew chief finally said, hey, we fixed that part. What's the problem now? And it's like, Jason, it's one of those things like in baseball, Jason and I can equate mm-hmm. to this. If you go on a slump where you're, you know, last 10 at bats, you hadn't been able to get on, that gets in your head and you start trying to fix stuff. And then where sometimes you just need to go back and keep it simple. I feel like that he needs to go back and figure out the simplicity of it all and go from there. The other thought is when he did win with RCR, Denny said those cars, everybody was so close together because nobody knew what they were doing. And so the you know, kind of the competition was all there. You had Michael McDowell winning. You had all these people. Now that's separated that everybody's kind of figured out as far as top to bottom. And he's not caught up.
Well, you brought back some memories there when you were talking about the in-car chatter there. I remember his last year with Joe Gibbs Racing. I mean, him just totally throwing Adam Stevens, his crew chief, under the bus. It seemed like every single week, you know, never taking responsibility on his own.
Right.
But blaming the crew chief for everything. I just think that's a lost organization at this point. And he may be trying too hard, trying too many different things out of desperation to try to get something going. But, you know, when you got desperation and frustration with a past champion, I mean, it could be disastrous. And I think that's what we're seeing out of the eight car at this moment.
Yeah. Toot seems to me, Scott, Toot, he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's starting
some of the people that are getting in the Hall of Fame, he's clearly a Hall of Famer.
Oh, my gosh. And he's starting to show signs of Richard Petty in 1992, of Darrell Waltrip in a 66 car that's sponsored by Kmart. You know, they're just out there running circles because
he did have a nice chrome car, though.
He did. but it's like they're out there just logging laps because they can't get it figured out. I mean, he finished well down, I think, in the 20s, but wasn't a contender all day at a place.
He used to dominate that
where
place.
He runs really good. Yeah, he swept it. I mean, we were there, I think, 1 year, and he
Friday,
swept it.
You know, I mean, he'd run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and win all of them.
Yeah.
You know, it was this crazy stuff. But, man, I'm just telling you, it's that organization. I think that's a toxic organization right now, and they can't figure anything out.
They definitely have no speed in the cars.
No.
I mean, so it starts there. It's hard really to put to give a verdict on what Kyle Busch is at this point in his career. I would love if he was still at JGR and was having the results, then you turn your attention to, well, maybe he's just not the same driver he is. But you can't even make that observation because the equipment they're running in, there's a couple tracks all year long where they have some pretty good success. And then outside of that, it's just they run where they've been running. And right. It's disappointing to see with the legacy and the amount of history that is involved in that race organization. But it has not been the same, and it's not been the same for a long time.
Yeah. Busch sits 24th in points, and Austin Dillon is 27th.
Yeah, I mean, it's consistent. And they just dropped, I think Childress announced, they dropped the third car they were running to put more resources into the two cars that they have. You know, to me, it's just, part of me is like it's the Jack Roush effect. Richard Childress is not, if you put him in the old school car, dude's going to fly around and be great. You put him in this new car, and just like with Jack Roush before Brad Keselowski, Brad brought a little more in there.
How many more renditions of this car have they not been very good in?
Well, I think
it's
been
a while.
It's been since Kevin Harvick.
Right.
I mean, it took over for Earnhardt. When that particular body style went out, so did they.
They haven't been competitive, no.
No.
But they also didn't have drivers either.
Well, they did have Harvick when they went to the car tomorrow.
But when they lost Harvick, what did they have?
Newman.
Yeah.
31, maybe. I mean, that was pretty much it. Because you think back, they had Jeff Burton. They had all kinds of guys back in the day with that old car. So, it's definitely different to see that. And
it's kind of sad is what it is.
It is. Because, especially with his kid coming up. I'm sure, you know, all of us are dads. We want our kids to see us succeed. Mm-hmm. And by him not being able to do that, and he goes out and wins a truck race at Atlanta, and he was super pumped about that, and it was a truck race where he used to just be like, oh, yeah, whip the field, whatever.
Hey, sometimes you just need to go – sometimes you just need to feel what it feels like to win again. Yeah. So, but I just don't think this is a driver issue.
No, not when you're sitting in 24th and 7th in points. It's not a driver issue.
Yeah, definitely RCR being a dud, and that hitter dud meter.
Because Austin can drive.
He can.
Austin can drive.
He's shown that.
Kyle Busch can drive.
They just don't have the car.
It's the equipment.
Yep. Hitter dud meter brought to you by County Commissioner Mylon Blake, who says, don't be a dud. Early voting starts today. Make sure you go out and early vote. And for the primary in May, when you do, click to reelect Mylon Blake as District 3 County Commissioner. Don't really want to talk politics today. All right.
You did earlier.
Yeah.
I know.
Just a few minutes.
Yeah. So Kyle Larson gets up close to a chance to win. And to me, when the pressure is on Kyle Larson sometimes, he pushes too hard. I think he probably had one of the better cars out of the three. And definitely running up top suited him. He just it almost like he pushed too hard, he slid and then fell back, and he was a non-contender.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you would think anytime you're at a track, that's why he'll probably be on a lot of people's lists this week at Kansas, a track where the top line really is pretty important, especially late in runs. But, you know, I think probably for me, the length of this quote unquote losing streak. Everybody goes through. It's hard to win in this sport. Everybody goes through stretches where they don't win races, you know, over a certain amount of time. But a guy that has won as much as him, you wonder if there is just that extra pressure, that extra motivation to go out there and introduce the opportunity to make some additional mistakes where you don't you feel like you almost have to be perfect to win one right now. They're just very talented driver. Plenty of speed in the car. It's just about, I think he just needs to take a deep breath, relax. The guy's won at every level. He wins all the time in all sorts of vehicles. I just think he's going to have a little bit of patience. And when he gets an opportunity, and it could be as early as this week, He needs to try. He needs to just relax and just drive, and not be and not take that pressure and try to, you know, not have that extra pressure on him to try to get that thing across the finish line and get the big trophy.
It's been one of the few times for Kyle Larson, Jason, that I've seen flashbacks to the 42 Kyle Larson. Not being patient, not, you know, and I think that's the thing for him is, and really in this format, right, being the chase, you don't have to win.
No.
Finish top 10.
Yeah, and the 40, when he was in the 42 target car, I mean, it was just like he couldn't close it out. He would come so close, and it was always finishing second. Always runner up. And he just got to figure it out again. But I will tell you this. He was not the best car on the track on Saturday.
No.
He was, in my opinion, I thought he was second to Blaney. May have been third, because when Reddick came up at the end, that made it kind of interesting there. But
and I think he was one of the better cars.
He was definitely a top five.
I think when Gibbs looked in the mirror and saw Larson and Blaney, he knew he had it, because those were two cars that
they were going to
race each other.
They were racing each other.
So let's head to the Shock Finish of the Week.
Shock Finisher of the Week, brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Locally owned for two generations, Caldwell Paving and Grading paves your driveways, roads, and with their own asphalt plant, they can pave interstates too. Give them a call, 423-336-3841. You'll be shocked to find out how good they are. I'm going with the 24 of William Byron. I had him in my lineup and thought he would do well, and didn't.
I'll take the 5 car because, well, yeah, I was the 5 or the 12. Either one of those, and Jason may want to pick one. The other, but I thought those were the two best cars and had the best opportunity, and are probably shocked that they didn't win that race.
I'm going with Todd Gilliland. I mean, coming out with a respectable 6 finish.
I like it.
You know, somebody that we don't talk about all the time, who doesn't get a lot of airplay. I'm going with Todd Gilliland. You know, you look at Bristol's a tough track to drive, and he went out there and performed and brought home a top 10 finish.
Is that what you're doing
sitting
on your phone?
26th place ahead of Austin Dillon.
Jason went and picked on his phone, like, looked over and see who he could
research
find.
Research staff,
like,
working
all,
overtime.
Yeah,
right,
they're
now
sending them information live in
no,
the
I
studio.
I mean, I've got to, you know, figure it out. You know, I don't want to come up with somebody that's like, you know, I could have picked Bowman, who finished dead last, but I kind of expected that. But I wanted to see exactly to back it up with some facts.
No, that's what it was. Facts. Hey,
facts. Do we use those on this show? I didn't know that was allowed.
First time I'd heard it, so it was it's one of those deals. But hey, Carson Hocevar, shout out to him. Finished I think 10th or 11th at Bristol, a place where somebody young and drives like he does can get in trouble, run a relatively clean race all day. All right, let's jump to it's one of the. I knew when I said that, I was like, they ain't gonna say anything about that. And Scott's like, congratulations. Which, by the way, I gave Scott the opportunity today when I said, I'm going to be on time, actually. I even paused because I was like, I know you're going to say, well, that's about normal. But he didn't. He just said, I'll see you when you get there.
No, we talked about it in here.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I kind of figured that would be what it was.
That's for the Patreon.
Yeah. All right, so Ty Gibbs gets his first win. Ever since, I feel like, the Gabehart thing come out, Ty Gibbs has been on a heater, no pun intended, and has been running really, really well, really consistent. I don't know if he's matured or if he's putting on an act. I guess that's my thing is are we there yet, or is he playing the right game?
But now the narrative that I'm reading on social media, well, this guy never had to do anything in his life, never had to turn a wrench, never had to do anything, got everything
that's
given
to
him. That's
not wrong, though, is it?
It's not wrong, but don't hate the guy.
He's not the first one to do that, though.
No, right. No. And everybody goes back to Dale Jr., well, he had to do this, and Chase Elliott had to do this. And I mean, it is what it is, guys.
I could tell you Dale Jr. had to did up to a certain point.
Yeah.
I mean, but then after that, it was all handed to him.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, just don't be jealous of the guy because, I mean, he can't help it. What's he supposed to do?
There was some conversation about I think we got where we're at 19 minutes in. I think it was with Dale Jr. I saw in kind of a clip where he was saying that there's no heir apparent to Joe Gibbs Racing. When Joe Gibbs leaves, and you kind of felt like Sunday after he won the race, when his mom was there, that she was kind of, you know, maybe not gifted, but inherited the ownership that JD had, or not JD, but Ty's dad, when he passed away, that she was involved. But he kind of compared it to DEI in saying that DEI was not DEI when Dale Earnhardt died, because Dale Earnhardt was not walking around in that shop. kind of making a point that Joe Gibbs holds that together in that, you know, organization. And there's a couple like that. We talked about Richard Childress Racing, but I wonder what that looks like when Joe Gibbs goes.
The succession plan?
The succession plan, or, you know, is it Ty?
I don't know, but I hope it's a hell of a lot better than Teresa did. I mean, be honest with you.
That's true. I mean, that's the thing that I think Dale brought that up, and he's got the experience because he saw it live. But, like, you know,
don't you think, though, as buttoned up as Joe Gibbs is that they have already – those are conversations that have been had and their plans in place.
And they've had to change it on the fly, you know, with the
And
with
I would
the
imagine
tragedies.
They have, but it just seems like that organization, lawsuits notwithstanding, just has things buttoned up, and that there is a plan in place, and that they follow that plan. And it's like, it's probably one of the few organizations I'm like, if he goes, I don't know what's going to happen. I think they're pretty buttoned up, or at least that's the perception I get, everybody understands their roles and knows what the plan and direction of the organization is.
We are now at a point probably in our, you know, journey, 13 years in this NASCAR world, that we're going to start seeing some of these older owners go out. We know Jeff Gordon seems like he's probably heir apparent to Rick Hendrick. You know, RCR is probably going down to the Dillon boys. And then, you know, you got to think Keselowski's probably part of the, you know, succession plan with Roush. So there's just a lot of these teams now. Penske. We don't know about Penske, right? And so when these teams go into different leadership is inherited, does that change things? And I'd say it will. So anyway, go ahead.
No, oh, you said I we'll just see. Said we'll see.
All right, let's jump into Victory Lane interview, and it's brought to you by Lakeview Community Church. Lakeview Community Church is pastored by Eric and Lake and Golden. They meet Sundays at 10:30, Sunday night small groups at 6 p.m., and Wednesdays at 7. I always have to go there at 7 after this because I need prayer. For more information, go to lakeviewcommunity.church.
I mean, I've always had fun. I mean, I think that's taken on a turn, but I just really enjoy it, the position I'm in. And obviously, you know, being around such a great group of people is so much fun. You know, and these guys, you know, love racing as much as I do or even more, and I know I love it a lot. So, you know, having that is super important. And, you know, having a great group of guys and keep building off of what we had last year and getting better and better toward, you know, from the half the season on, and keep improving our notebook is really important. And fortunately, been really fast here at Bristol in the past and have one, but have been close, and so finally went here, especially my first one, is super cool.
Information you see on Facebook or Twitter that looks halfway decent, Sam, talking about our show, or even Throwback Thursdays that we put out there, it's done by WebOb Digital Marketing. They can do the same for your business. If you've got more information, go to webob.com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR, we'll talk about it right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's getting hot outside, and I'm here for it. Actually, shorts and T-shirt today. First time I didn't have to wear a long sleeve. And I think first time I haven't coughed in a while. So it's finally getting to that.
The pollen has been winning the battle.
It has. I think I finally am on the upper hand with that. So 423-509-8787 is Dale's Heating and Air. Or do you like we do? Just call Dale's. .com. All right, time for news in the world of NASCAR. That's brought to you by Bradley Veterinarian Hospital. BVH is a locally owned veterinarian hospital that will see animals from as small as your new puppy to livestock on your farm with over 50 years of service and 5 highly trained veterinarians that live in the town they work in. This could be your last stop for all veterinarian needs. I've trusted them with my dogs for 40 years. You can too. Give them a call, 423-479-2051, or visit their website, bradleyvet.com, to make your appointment today. All right, so Jeff Gluck's poll. Bristol, the cup race was down a tick.
In terms of yes, no votes, was it a good race?
In Viewership. I'll talk about his poll here in a second. But viewership, it was down a tick. O'Reilly Series, Bristol, and we got a crack research staff checking out what happened last year. We think maybe it was just their first year, but they were at 400,000 last year, and this year they were at 1.4 million viewers.
Are people saying it's better racing.
There are people saying it's also a better broadcast. Me maybe included.
All that could be correct.
So the trucks were almost even. I think down 10,000 in viewership and stuff like that. So when you look at it, the O'Reilly Series, if all holds true and we can't find anything that happened, you know, different last year, then that's good for them. I'm sure they're pretty pumped about how much they've grown in the past year. So. Big time deal there. All right, Chris Grabehart's like, all right, you know what? I know we're in a lawsuit, but you boys held my beer. I'm going to get a headset and some stuff, and I'm going to Bristol. And he was there. I don't know how that will fare for him, but he was gathering information. He was caught on TV.
I don't think JGR was too happy with that.
No, I don't think so. But I don't know if there's any, like, you know, nobody's prohibited him, I guess, by the judge has not thrown anything out that says, hey, you can't go to the racetrack. I may get Alex on next week. We need to get to the bottom of this whole JGR Gabehart stuff and figure it out. You know, now Alex is married. He's playing love music all the time, and so it's kind of hard to get him tied down. All right, so
the only thing I can find is that Kyle Larson dominated the race, leading 276 of 300 laps. I don't know.
Maybe just people wanted to see Kyle Larson win. Right.
No, that was last year.
Last year's O'Reilly Xfinity Series.
That was the 400,000.
Can't find anything weather related. It was red flagged there for 15 minutes, but
probably because of a wreck.
Yeah, but other than that,
yeah, interesting.
Before we get to the standings, I saw this tidbit came across the Twitter sphere yesterday, and I found it pretty interesting. Do you know, take a guess, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to guess. Do you know who has spent...
Hold on, was this on the show schedule?
No.
You found it yesterday?
I don't know.
You have access to the show schedule. Yeah. You could have had that on there.
No, I could have, but you know, things happened today and a chance. Do you know who has spent the longest amount of races, current drivers now, inside the top 10 in points? Who has the longest active streak in the top 10 in points?
I'm going to guess... I'm going to say Ryan Blaney.
That's who I was going to go with.
64 races.
Blaney.
You know who isn't right? Blaney is in the top 10 in points. You know who is second? At 17 straight weeks. That's the gap between the two.
I'm going to go
William Byron.
I'm going to go Larson.
It's Chase Elliott.
God, that was my initial thought.
We were in the same
owner.
That's
my initial thought, Elliott. And then I went with Byron.
Yeah, I just found that surprising. Not that Blaney has been in there that long, but you start looking at Reddick 13 weeks, but obviously he's been near the top since the very start this year. Then it drops down to Larson, Bell, Buescher. 5 weeks is the longest active streak after that.
Wow.
So maybe the end of last year and the, you know, we're 8 races into this year. It's interesting to see who's been running in the top 10 the longest. It just shows you that, especially in this new format, if you can be consistently in there, you're going to give yourself an opportunity to go deep into the playoffs.
I mean, 10 years ago, Ryan Newman would be
right. That
guy. So, speaking of points, let's take a look at them. It's time for your NASCAR Cup point standings. That's brought to you by Bree Meyer with Cry Like Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is the realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call at 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series standings after the running of the Food City 500. Tyler Reddick with a 62-point lead over Ryan Blaney. Denny Hamlin, Ty Gibbs, and Chase Elliott are your top five. Kyle Larson, William Byron, Bubba Wallace, Christopher Bell, Chris Buescher, your top 10. Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Carson Hocevar, Ryan Preece, Daniel Suarez, and sliding in 16th, Shane Van Gisbergen.
I guarantee you that guy hadn't been in the top 10 in points for...
And that is your NASCAR Cup Series standings.
And that's brought to you by Bree Maya. Anything to do with your house, if you want to sell it or buy it, buy one. Give Bree a call, 269-598-6243. When we come back, it's time to move on to the next race. That would be Kansas. We'll talk about it right after this.
We got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland, 101.3.
The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio,
presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland, 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air, Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's time to move on to the next race, and in life, your next race may be buying a new home or moving an aging family member to their new home. Boundless Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For more information, go to boundlessmoving.com or give them a call, 423-763-1000. I guess I didn't do a good job of copying and pasting today because our friends at MRN had a conversation with Brad Keselowski, and I don't really know what they talked about to set it up. So
Kansas,
this will be a surprise. Definitely talking about Kansas. Let's hear what he had to say.
The next gen car fits the Kansas racetrack very well, and specifically, there's dynamics to the car that create really great racing. I'll start with a few things. The track has got progressive banking. You can run the bottom, run the middle, run the top, and they're fairly equal in pace. And that really opens up the racetrack for being able to race and makes it hard to block each other. It's not possible to block each other, it's hard. The tires wear out, and the cars go through this important flip of being, I wouldn't say easy to drive, but very drivable at the start of a run to very difficult to drive at the end of a run on the tires. And so being able to make pace with that as a driver and to manage that, and particularly when they get to driving really bad, being able to handle that is a differentiator that I think shows talent and again, opens up more opportunities across the field. So that track has so much going for it right now. Probably one of the best racetracks in the Cup Series. And it's a can't-miss race.
Jason, do you agree that everything Brad Keselowski said about Kansas being the best Cup race track?
No.
That's what I thought.
But, I mean, he does make some valid points there. I mean, you got multiple grooves where you can do some passing. I just don't think it's that great. And I'm talking about it on both sides of my mouth here.
Longer the green flag run, the worse the racing gets, because then it just becomes who can run the high side the best and not keep it off the wall. But I think he makes a lot of great points. I think we've seen some pretty good races, especially with this car at this track. I don't think it's Homestead, but I think it's in a similar vein where the grooves do matter. It does, how you set your car up is going to matter. And I think tires, all that stuff, I think it plays a role. And that's what we always talk about on this show, and I mention it all the time. It's variables. Mm-hmm. And this track does have some variables. It's going to depend on making sure we get enough tire wear and all that to make it make sense. But I think it is a track that has the opportunity to put on a good show.
I think I need to come up with a new segment. What do we want to see for it to be a good race every week?
I want to see passion. I want to see a little bit of drama. I wouldn't mind seeing a crash here and there. You know, that, to me, that's a good race.
That could be every race, right? That's that way.
You know, strategy, that could go into the drama part that I said. But I really want to see cars out there making passes, not just sitting around following the leader. That's just what I want to see.
Would that be the memo, Scott, that we send to NASCAR?
I was going to say, would it be easier for me to tell you what I don't want to see, and then everything else could just fall on the I want to see it? I don't want to see single file, long stretch green flag runs. I've never been a big, huge fan of, fuel strategy type races. I want to see them get in there, they're not going to really beat and bang anymore, especially at this track. But I want to see decisions by the driver and the teams matter. So lines, the tire wear, when do we take two, when do we take four. If it's just on repeat, we know that we have a caution, we're going to have to take four. It's repetitive. I like to see some variables.
When I watch a race and something like this one too, and you know, I've seen a couple crashes, you take it for what it's worth. It just adds a little bit of intrigue to it, you know.
I mean, it breaks up the long
run. It does, and that's what I like about it. But you know, I like to see, and this is kind of just piggybacking on what Scott says there. You know, I love hearing in the race that, you know, say so and so, you know, is reporting back that, you know, we're just too tight. Well, they come in and make adjustments. Let's see what that does. See if it helps them out. You know, to me, that's intriguing to see what they can do to the car in race on pit stops to make that car perform like the driver wants it.
It's almost like I set this up, but MRN asked Kyle Larson, where would you rank Kansas among your best tracks?
It's definitely in my top three or four favorite tracks. You know, I think it's definitely a successful one too for myself. Even going back to Ganassi days, you know, I could run pretty well there. So yeah, it's just been a good place. So excited to get there. And like I said, we have two good tracks coming up and would love to just get back to, you know, leading a bunch of laps and top threes in stages and top threes in the race. Ultimately, we'd love to get a win to break the streak, I guess. But more than anything, I just want to have good runs where I feel like I can contend for a win. It's been a little bit for that.
I wonder if he'd be happy knowing that when he, because he did this interview prior to the Bristol race, right? It was in the Bristol Center before that. He'd probably be happy to know he got a top three at Bristol.
No, I would think that maybe this is the jolt they needed to get out there. I would be surprised if he's not in the thick of it on Sunday.
Zane Smith, which I had to remind myself who Zane Smith was. They asked him, do you consider Kansas to be FRM's strongest intermediate? First of all, I will probably save this to next week with Alex and say, I mean, this is where we're at. MRN, bottom of the barrel kind of thing. I mean, when did we talk about FRM anyway? Do you consider Kansas to be FRM's strongest intermediate track?
Kansas is, I feel like, a great track for both of us. I feel like it really suits both of our driving styles, and it's one of my favorites. It always has been. How that racetrack has aged, the multiple lanes you have to choose from, is a ton of fun. But, and yeah, it's been a good mile and a half, arguably one of our best from our side of things. And so, yeah, excited for that one, and yeah, a lot of these tracks coming up.
He's excited.
Yes, and we did a straw poll as he was talking about who is FRM, and it is
Front Row Motorsports.
Okay, where are their drivers?
We got there. It took us a minute.
Oh, that's. I think they would have probably picked you and I, Jason, to go on before FRM had we been in attendance. All right, this week's schedule is brought to you by Porter Concrete. Jonathan Porter and his family have been concreting driveways, sidewalks, foundation, and pool decks for many years. Finding the right person to handle your concrete project is important. I've trusted Porter Concrete for all of my concrete needs. He's my neighbor. You can trust him with yours. Whether it's commercial or residential, large or small, they do them all. Give them a call, 423-596-0740. Heater.
Okay, first of all, no truck race this week. And I want you to listen to how all over the place this schedule is. So, open practice, 9:30, no big deal. ARCA practice and qualifying, no big deal. On the CW app, O'Reilly practice and qualifying Friday at 7 o'clock on the CW app.
Right.
Saturday on FS1 at 12:30, ARCA 100. 4 o'clock on Prime, you got cut practice and qualifying. Then at 7, you got on CW O'Reilly race.
Love it.
Sunday.
I love that.
2 o'clock.
Give me something to watch.
Yeah, 2 o'clock on Sunday, you get the cup race. Better than 3 or 3:30, right, Jamie?
1 or 6.
2 is not bad.
1 or 6. I mean, but 2 turns into 3 because that's pre-race at 2 o'clock.
Well, race day is at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, but
Fox.
They still say 2. But, I mean, like when you always go to Pocker, they'll tell you when they call. Yeah, 2:28.
I think the one that just threw me for a loop here was Prime is the cup and qualifying. It was like cup practice and qualifying on Prime. Like, where else do they fall in this mix? Nowhere. Just strange.
Just get somewhere and stay.
Me and Jason had this conversation before we got on the air while we were waiting patiently for you to get here.
At 5:33, you were here talking about it?
Well, I mean, we were We were talking about sports in general, where it's just hard to watch things. Find places, you know, you got to have 8 different packages and 6 different apps and all sorts of stuff.
Hey, wait, real quick, what do you think about the Braves? I mean, y'all jumped into the Braves app yet?
That was part of our conversation.
I've got DirecTV Stream, and they are on there, so I've been able to watch. I keep waiting for
– good for you.
I keep waiting, I guess, for content to come in to fill up the space in between, you know, in between games.
Nope. Yeah, I don't have the Brave Vision.
You don't have it?
Nope.
Yeah, you want to pony up a little money, get a little, like a DirecTV or something?
You know how many apps I got on the TV right now?
How many?
Plenty.
It's plenty.
Yeah, it's plenty.
I'm just not catching my Braves, that's all.
That's, well, if you want to come over, I got you.
No, I'll do that.
Got a man cave. All right, when we come back, it's fantasy time. We'll break down how I didn't do well. Scott didn't do even weller. Yeah. And I don't even know. I think Jason finished pretty well. We'll talk about it right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio.
Brought to you by Clarity Property Management and Handyman Services on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. It's time for the Rick Cart Glitch Fantasy standings, and those are brought to you by Clarity Property Management and Handyman Services. You've probably heard me talk about my friend Michael Williamson, who owns Clarity Property Management and Handyman Services. I've known him since high school, and let me tell you, he takes pride in doing things the right way. Whether you need drywall repair, new flooring, electrical work, plumbing fixes, or a fresh coat of paint, Clarity Handyman team, it can handle the deal. No shortcuts, no surprises, just solid, dependable work. So if your home needs attention, call Clarity Property Management and Handyman Services today for 423-458-2600. Tell them the Finish Line boys sent you. Hito.
All right, here's your Bristol Motor Speedway League standings. 11 left turns is first, followed by RLM Racing
too this week.
Brandon Gaines, myself,
Karth,
Kivo Racing, Arnold Tarpley, Dale's Not Dead,
hey, yes,
Jamie Kyle, Chasing the Dub, Wild Racer, Dawsonville Dominator.
Hey, ever since Kay the girlfriend's White, happened.
The Real Lyle, gonna ride your cage number 3.
He's horrible and it shows.
Scott Webb.
That was this week?
Yep.
We got a lot more people chiming in too.
That was this week.
And the more people that chime in, the more people further ahead down of the list I go. So yes, please join. Just do is go to NASCAR.com fantasy, search for Finish Line Radio.
So maybe when you do, maybe it's somebody you'll find that's worse than you in that scenario.
I'm not super excited about it, that's for sure.
So the interesting thing here is the top four that finished at Bristol are the same top four in the overall.
You telling me Loving Left Turns is first?
Loving Left Turns is first.
He's having a heck of a year.
Followed by Brandon Gaines.
Probably having a good life too.
RLM Racing, myself. Dale's Not Dead.
He sure is.
Jamie Kyle.
I'm here.
Arnold Tarpley, gonna ride your cage number 3.
He's horrible.
Kivo Racing, The Real Lyle,
getting
Wild Racer. Scott Webb, Chasing the Dub, Dawsonville Dominator, and Kay White.
Who's Chasing the Dub? I got to know that name.
I don't know.
That's kind of.
I know who's not chasing a dub.
Well, you're chasing it. You're just not. You're not able to
not
succeed.
Even the same area.
Do you guys find yourself, like I was talking about earlier, you know, you're sitting here, you know where your drivers are in fantasy, and if they're up there going for the win, you're just like, don't touch.
Dude, there are some days.
Do not touch anybody.
When I'm in business after the second, you know, the second stage, and there are some days, like this past week, mm-hmm. where I'm like, I don't really care. I watch the race just to watch the race, is a little less pressure.
And how many times you sit here and you're saying, oh, man, the 11's up here in second. I've got da-da-da-da. And then you look at your roster and you're like, man, I didn't take him. I took somebody else.
Oh, or even better, and you and I, we all three have done this, either in the third base and coaching box for me or side of the road for one of you boys. You got somebody in the garage that you left there that's in the top 5 that you didn't
switch in. Or ran out to the store.
The number of race winners that have been sitting in my garage in fantasy is remarkable.
Especially this year.
Remarkable.
Especially this year. All right. For Kansas, I've got I feel like a pretty good little lineup here. William Byron, Bubba Wallace. And Bubba Wallace, where's he fell to in points? Let's see. Eighth. My man was second.
Bad. Nah, he's stayed the ship, though. Decent week last week.
Carson Hosevar. I like the Hosevar third spot. I got Christopher Bell, runs the top very well. I didn't, and I'd say one of you boys probably have Reddick in because he runs the top bell. I didn't do that, but I'm going on the guy that's on the heater, no pun intended, heater, Ty Gibbs in the fifth spot. And then I got Eric Jones.
I like the Eric Jones
In the garage. I got Gibbs over Wallace. I got Elliott over Chastain, which is who's Ross Chastain? Y'all know who Ross Chastain is. I got Larson over Reddick, and I've got Byron over Blaney. Now, NASCAR says if you are a betting person, the hot pick would be Kyle Larson. Second place, Denny Hamlin is a great bet at plus 500. And then avoid Ryan Blaney, avoid Ty Gibbs, all right. And then a sleeper, my man's Bubba Wallace. Not Jason's man, but my man, Bubba Wallace, all right? So if you got a gambling problem, stop. Heater.
All right, I'm going to go with Christopher Bell. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go Chris Buescher. Another limb, I'm going Ross Chastain, Chase Briscoe, Brad Keselowski. In my garage, I've got Kyle Larson. I'm going Gibbs over Wallace, Elliott over Chastain, Larson over Reddick, and Byron over Blaney.
Obviously, I'm not confident in any of this. So there could be some changes.
Obviously.
I have zero confidence.
I took Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, Ty Gibbs. Going to try to run that heater with him. And Bubba Wallace, I have Christopher Bell in the garage.
Did you just copy my picks?
I don't think so. I mean, these are my picks. I mean, why would you want me?
I know. That's what I'm worried about. I need to be changing at this point.
I got Gibbs over Wallace. I got Elliott over Chastain. I got Larson over Reddick. And I got Blaney over Byron.
All right, so I'm going to try to get Alex Hayden with MRN on the show for next week. Also, make sure you tune in. We'll break down Kansas. We'll get you ready for Talladega. For Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.